Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Nothing back with DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black boogies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, and stealing your lunch. Money to search, ready to feel it just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say, you got strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
As long as you can hear me, that's all right.
Yeah, I know. You're quite loud. Like, you're the only sound in the room, so it doesn't matter how soft you are, so to speak. So to speak.
You were the only sound in the room.
Sounds like a Taylor Swift lyric.
It does. And poets need to be tortured in any way possible, but not by having to listen to 31 fucking tracks.
That's for the next episode, though.
It needs to be said on no matter what podcast. It needs to be said on basketball podcasts, it needs to be said on music podcasts, it needs to be said on fucking world history podcasts. Double albums are unnecessary. Don't make them. Double live albums? We'll carve out a little exception for that. Double fucking concept albums? No. Get a fucking editor. Get a producer. Stop it. This is Ball Podcast. It's a basketball show.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, heavily allegedly. Fucking Mero dropping allegedlys in a GIF form. I'm Doc. He's Adam H. Photo.
Hi.
Bezo is out with national coaching duties. And he also didn't want to be here for Adam gloating his ass off over winning the wins pool.
I was thinking of putting together like a special intro music, and it'd be like, you know, the normal board, and all of a sudden it'd just be like, you know, the usual, you know, the record tear, and it'll be like, by God, that's Adam H. Photo's music or something, and then it starts playing Def Leppard or something like that.
I'm pretty sure you made us say.
There is one like that. Yeah, I did hear it on the 400. That's... That's a long time ago.
Did splice in a bit of Def Leppard. You're the only person continuing to play Def Leppard despite various members.
Including them.
And various members of the band being long and well and truly cancelled by now. Cancellation doesn't seem to stop anything these days. So how are you going to enjoy your warm six-pack of VB?
Not at all, by the sounds of it. Barely even drinking actual alcohol at the moment. But look, for Bezo, I can make an exception.
Yes.
It amazed me. Like, it came down to three wins. And, I mean, I led by double digits for pretty much the entire season. And
you led by 15 about 3 days from the end. So
yeah, and I won by three, which usually the NBA tankathon at the end does claim some casualties, but man, it got a lot closer than what I really needed to. I mean, Bezo basically blames it all on the Clippers, which I actually thought it'd be nice to drop in a bit of audio because I went back and listened to a bit of the original Winspool episode, and there's that point where he goes, "You can't believe I'm going to do this," and you just start laughing outrageously when he says he's going to pick the Knicks and the Lakers, and you know the Knicks ended up being a good thing. Who knew? But the Lakers,
putting your faith in the Clippers or the Lakers, you get what you deserve. Having said that, I put my faith in the Dubs and the Suns, and that worked out quite appallingly badly as well.
And I sold my soul to Satan and put my faith in the Boston Celtics, and there it is right there.
Yes. We need to get you a green drink, some freaking chartreuse or something. Absinthe. Is it an absinthe, a green drink?
Maybe. I don't know.
Midori Splice.
I usually hate. Yeah, Midori Splices. That's the one. That Midori's awful.
One of the nastier flavors of Vodka Cruiser from like 2001.
Yeah.
We'll get there in the end. Anyway, is that enough gloating? Do you need to get more gloating off your chest? Because it might be a while before we can actually settle your debts. It might involve, you know.
It's usually about a year, isn't
the
it?
The use of duty free. Well, it was like 3 years. My first it's 3 years were paid off at once. But we will get there. We will settle our bets.
You know where I live. Yes. You know where I live. It's fine. Yes.
We bet responsibly, unlike Jonte Porter, who is going to have to find something else to do for a career.
Come on. Oh, just as well that was Jonte Porter and say not like, you know, Josh Giddey or he just fucks young kids. Michael, that's right. Sorry.
Or Michael Porter. What a bit of
Michael Porter.
I suspect they're just as Monty in the brain as each other, Michael and Jonte. They seem to have a growth mindset, and by growth I mean some kind of metastasis.
Something like it's kind of like the Australian, what we were talking about with the Australian cricket team and cheating. It's not so much the fact that they cheated, it's the fact of how fucking stupid they were in doing it.
Just dumb. Just so fucking dumb. Just,
oh, I'm only going to play 10 minutes tonight. Oh, coach, I've done a Gronix. I'm going to go shit myself or something.
I got a note from my mum saying I wasn't well yesterday. It was pretty
terrible. Yeah, for 21 grand, like I said, 21 grand.
Yeah,
look, the guy. I mean, I know the guy.
He placed all these bets and lost them all. Just a fucking moron. And he's exactly the kind of useful idiot the NBA wants to be able to prove as an example to the rest of the playing rosters to say, don't do this. We will find out, and you will look like a fucking moron, you'll lose your job.
And it would be interesting to see if it ends up being someone like, if it was Kevin Durant or if it was Karl Anthony Towns or something like that.
How much? There's no money in the world that would make, you can never give those guys enough money. It can only ever be a dude at the end of the bench.
Yeah, that's right. It's because, it's an addiction.
Their impact is only ever going to be fucking about with idiot prop bets. I mean, you think of the cricket match fixing outside of, the European League and these other comedy leagues.
No balls and all that sort of stuff,
It's always spot fixing, which is essentially the same as fixing a prop bet. It's funny watching America speedrun all the bullshit about gambling that the rest of the world has already been through. They're like, gambling's fantastic. And then 3 months later, gambling's fucking terrible and ruins everything about trying to watch sport.
Well, I did see with the NBA turning off their stats APIs, aren't they, so that the gamblers can't get direct access to it. Of course, they'll get access in 23 other ways.
There's too much money in it.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah. Anyway, gambling. We don't call them BCs for no reason.
No, that's true. Bettingcunts.com. We gamble with your head before we cut it off. Some people watch basketball not to gamble, but actually because they enjoy the game.
And there has been some good games.
There's been some
really good games.
Well, there were play-ins. I mean, the play-ins were largely... I mean, the Lakers-Pels play-in was a really good game.
It was mad.
But most of the other play-ins were pretty much not worth watching.
No. But, it was good to see Zion fulfill his potential and realize his outcomes all in the one game, really.
And it was the whole hero's journey, except the hero was a Shakespearean hero and ended up getting chipped in the end because they always fucking do.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's a little bit of Embiidness to that today as well. We'll see how he throws one off the glass and dunks one handed and comes down with a knee injury and everybody's like, dude, what are you doing?
Nobody could have predicted this outcome. Totally unfathomable outcome.
They almost won that game. I think they scored 12 points in the second quarter. It was like when that happened, everybody just looked around and went, well, what do we do now? What do we do?
It was a little bit like Miami did against them in the play-in game where Jimmy clearly hurt himself badly, stayed in the game but was fucking hobbled, and Miami still almost dragged that game out and only lost by a point.
Yeah.
And then dealt to Chicago in the eighth seed play.
Yeah, didn't that kill it? I mean, look, Chicago have been, for better or worse, dog shit most of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a 39-43 team in the East.
Yes. And Atlanta were just as bad. Yeah. They had no place being there.
No. It was like, they would have been better off leaving Trae Young out of all of that, probably, because, increase his trade value for the next, to the Lakers or wherever the hell he's going to end up.
Well, his only streak of relevance recently has been, I think the Knicks fans were chanting fuck Trae Young after tonight's game, just for old time's sake. Which was tremendous, bing bong, and all that kind of shit. But we should talk about the actual playoffs that happened, and we should probably talk about the fact that nobody knows anything. It was my great takeaway from anything, because I listened to all the previews and made up my own mind about things and watched things and agreed with some and disagreed with others. And you think fucking talking about some of today's games, the Phoenix Minnesota was always going to be a tremendous contest and. Phoenix's shooting was, very likely just to play the Minnesota, the big lumbering bigs they have and the old guards they have, just play them off the court. They were going to, end up getting run out of here. Lots of people were tipping Phoenix to win that series. And you can't overreact to game one, but that's exactly what we fucking do here on the Bulls podcast. Game one, the Wolves won huge. Nobody knows fucking anything.
Anthony Edwards turns up in a fucking Tesla Simpsons mobile, and was that?
Oh, like the Bezos sent us a message in the group chat saying I'm out on Ant, and I'm like, what, the homophobic slurs on the Instagram post weren't enough for you already to figure out that maybe he's a young dickhead just like the rest of them?
Yeah, but still, the guy can shoot 33-9-6 today, and Cat jumped in. Even Rudy had 14-16, so. I mean, that's how you just put away a fairly, what should be a really good but a fairly ordinary basketball team.
But a team that has had a matchup advantage over you in the entire, most of the year. So,
Well, look, I mean, Durant played well, and that's about it, Really? Yep. I mean, Bradley Beal, 15.
They didn't shoot.
Devin Booker, 18.
They didn't shoot. That's basically it. They live and die by, ironically, for a big three, they live and die by how well Grayson Allen and friggin'
guys Royce like O'Neal had Royce went 4 from 8.
Yeah. How well guys like that shoot. And didn't happen.
I mean, Bol Bol got on the court today. That should tell you everything you need to know about what happened.
Well, Bol Bol has been a more active participant in Phoenix basketball than
what he should be.
He has at any stop beforehand.
Yes.
Because they literally just need anybody.
Somebody else, which seems ridiculous when, I mean, and Grayson Allen had 4 points of 0-3 shooting today in 25 minutes. So
well, that's the thing. He didn't get any shots off. And he didn't hit any of them. And he, you know, theoretically has the best 3-point shooting percentage on volume this season. So,
but when the whole team has 16 assists,
yeah,
and you know, 26 assists to 16, I mean, that's what's going on, isn't it? Like, it's just ISO ball.
People forgot that Minnesota are a good defensive team. In fact, they were the best defensive team all year. So, and that turned up in the playoffs. So it turns out the defense is a thing that is a skill that you can ramp up in the playoffs.
So,
massive overreaction to that is that Minnesota will win, which is actually...
Phoenix will take 2 games. I think Minnesota will win that 6, just because I think the big three have to hit at least once, maybe twice, or Minnesota will have a bad game and that's the one they'll get. But they'll probably win one of the... Phoenix might win both their away games and Minnesota will take care of it away in the 6th game or something like that. It would not surprise me to be 4. It might... I mean, 4 is always a bit weird, but... It would, you know, they're just a better basketball side, I think, and that's why they had 7 more wins. And it feels
Would require one of the Phoenix dudes to go out injured, which is extremely probable this year. It just feels like it's not just likely; it's probable. There's a huge pile of broken All Stars who are out, you know, 2 to 4 weeks at least.
The one I was surprised about, which I was Cleveland getting up over Orlando. I mean, I know that but I just...
Because the narrative there was that Cleveland were cowards, Cleveland were disgusting, because Cleveland basically tanked their last game against Charlotte, who were desperate to lose that game as well. And, you know, they were saying they tanked it to end up they were more confident that they could beat Orlando. And it was a sign of a loser mentality and that they were going to get jumped by this young, hungry Orlando team. And they beat the shit out of Orlando. So, again, nobody knows anything.
I mean, Jared Allen had 16 and 18 today. You know, which probably tells you why Orlando didn't get any many second chances at anything they missed. Even Evan Mobley had 16 and 11. So, I mean, cleaning up the boards, basically. What was it, 54 to 40?
Yeah.
And Donovan Mitchell is a good player. Hasn't shown it very recently, but, you know, maybe he's just, you know, saving himself for a big occasion. And
this is the big occasion he needs to save himself for, because he didn't fucking show up this time last year in exactly the same situation.
No, that's right.
And after they did choose their opponent, and the funny thing is that, you know, some media types have sort of obviously decry this and say, you know, what the fuck are they doing? This is why teams should be allowed to pick their opponent based on rank. The number one seed can pick their opponent and the number two can pick their next opponent. And that, of course, that would be great bulletin board material, but it would also be, you know, fairer. Apart from the timing issue in that, you know, with the play-in, you're not going to know who the low seeds are anyway. This actually is like a much higher stakes version of this, where if you want to pick your opponent, you have to open yourself up to massive ridicule and incredible failure and everybody involved in the decision being fired, because that's what's going to happen to the Cavs if they fuck this up.
And look, it's one game. You know, you could quite happily see, you know, Paolo played okay, but you're 9-17, 24 points. It's not a super-duper game. France had 18 and Mo had 10.
I'm surprised it's not, the Wagner boys probably need to do a lot more if they're going to get dominated by Jared Allen.
They didn't look like that. I mean, Orlando needs to shoot well and they didn't shoot. You know, they shot 32% from the floor. So maybe, you know.
Not to give away the game here, but obviously you're reading this off a box score. And I didn't watch the game either because, A, it was on at like 2 in the morning our time. And, B, this is the most NBA TV series in the history of NBA TV series. This will be the only game on national television.
I mean, it was a 97-83 game. So, I mean, it's not exactly like anybody's setting the world on fire out there.
Not only was it on NBA TV, even though it was on fucking ABC, it was also on NBA TV in like 1998. That's how long ago that game was played, judging by the score.
It's but look, it could all turn around and Cleveland could just get dumped out in 5 or 6 as well. Yeah. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. Looking at that, I wouldn't think so, but stranger things have happened. If Orlando can grab one away and then go back home.
Yeah. If they can get a split
Florida, and Florida South Beach is still undefeated as they, you know.
I don't think that counts for Orlando. I don't think Disneyland is undefeated. You know,
except Joe Ingles has got the season passes being at home. So.
Unless the fucking Brooke and Robin Lopez are coming to play, I think that they might be a bit vulnerable to it. But everybody else, I think, can probably safely negotiate. You know, the hazards of fucking. I've forgotten the name of that fucking. What's that place that everyone goes drinking at in Disneyland? Like the International World.
Yeah.
That
being said, they are coming from Cleveland, so you know anything with stripes, frankly, anything would be attractive.
Would be up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but look, that could go any way you like. Are Knicks fans getting very excited?
Oh God, yes. I saw some video. They're fuck Trae Young, Bing Bong, the whole thing, and they should.
But cheering Joel Embiid when he goes down, which is horrible because I actually watched that.
I would cheer Joel Embiid when he goes down because you know he's not actually hurt. He's a fucking sook. He's worse than a soccer player. He wasn't injured. I mean, he got back up and played. He just fucking jarred his knee a bit and he had to be coming off. If he was fatally injured, he wouldn't have been back and playing like 5 minutes later.
I mean, 8 from 22, 2 from 8 from outside, a very ordinary, I mean, 11 from 12 from the line because, of course, it's Joel Embiid, but that's not what he needs to do. For, you know, 29, 8 and 6 is not what they need him to do to win basketball games. What they need is to give Tyrese Maxey the run, which he obviously did in the third quarter. Like someone actually said, Rightio, you need to get spark this shit up, and he did. For a while.
Maxey was really good in defense on Jalen Brunson because Jalen Brunson's short ass kept trying to take these fucking floaters and Maxey would just sort of reach in behind and go, doink!
He had a dog shit night, didn't he, Brunson? But
they won the game.
I did see some, what was the stat? I think on No Dunks was saying that the Knicks this year were 30-3 with OG and Ananobi in the lineup or something ridiculous like that. And I mean,
but that's, the thing is they haven't been whole, you know, they haven't had all their parts and you know, they don't have all their parts because they're not going to have Julius Randle again. But yeah, I mean, it would be good if New York compared to Cleveland, it'd be good if New York's refusal to be cowards and just to play it out and see what happens is rewarded. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't just because
because it's going to be basically that you'll get a Boston, New York and
it'll be good to watch, but you know, my big take, my big fucking, you know, pound your chest shake is that if Boston loses a single game before the Eastern Conference Finals, everyone should be fired because they are getting the most armchair fucking ride. They are going to be playing a terrible eight seed, a broken Miami team. And if they think they're getting over their fucking ghost of the past by defeating a broken, Jimmy-less Miami team, then they are just as delusional as most Boston fans. And then the 4 seed is going to be either Cleveland, who have beaten up on no one, or Orlando, who are the no one who beat up on Cleveland. That's not going to be a concern for them either. So they're just going to be sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting. So
waiting for the Knicks, yeah.
They're just not going to be tested at any stage until the Eastern Conference Finals, at which point we hope they shit the bed. Oh, God, it'd be funny, but they won't.
But I mean, that probably means that the Knicks are in the finals, but they'll get crushed by the Nuggets or whoever comes
out. No, the Knicks won't make the finals because they'll get beaten by Boston because they'll have had to fucking been in a rock fight with the fucking winner of the 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bucks, yeah. So that's right.
Yeah, the Bucks and the Pacers. Now, the main takeaway from the preview of Bucks Pacers is that you thought the East was bad before. Now that everybody is injured, it's much worse. I mean,
it's terrible.
On the Pacers side, Halliburton has not been the same since his injuries in mid-season. Dame is carrying an adductor injury in his core.
Well, that was bad, wasn't it?
Which is making him play like shit. And Giannis is not going to be seen for a couple of weeks. So
probably the whole first round, I would say, unless they're in deep shit, basically. Like if they're, you know, 3 games up, if it's 3-1, he's not coming back, I don't reckon.
No, like, he would though, but they'd have to hold him back. But I mean, I don't know. The Pacers are a better team than they were because since they brought in Siakam from Toronto
for the Raptors.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think both of them are pretty bad teams. They're not.
And finally, Denver did what Denver are going to do to most people and just rolled through the Lakers today.
The thing is that the narrative around this beforehand was that, Denver Lakers, it'll be another sweep. And then the counter narrative of that was, well, Denver are actually a bit worse than last year because they lost a lot of their key bench players. And Lakers are quite a bit better than last year. So, they might even take a game off them. Not fucking tonight. But the thing is that the narrative around the Denver bench being, having lost Christian Brown and Bruce Brown and I don't know. Actually, it wasn't Christian Brown. Who was it? It was they lost Bruce a couple Brown. Of dudes. Doesn't matter because their bench was what got them back into it in the second quarter. So again, nobody knows fucking anything.
Yeah, but I mean, they were still down. I mean, Denver were down at the half, and it didn't matter. Just
but no, they were equal, and then there was a three. Yeah. Somebody hit a three on the bell, but that was the end of. That was essentially the end of the contest.
That was it.
The point at which Denver got back to parity in the last, 30 seconds of the first half was pretty much the end of the contest because Denver just went, okay, and then just cruised out to a 10-point lead and just held that margin, through to the tape. And that was the end of that.
All their starters in double figures, Gordon with 11 rebounds, Jokic with 12 rebounds, everybody doing what you want them to do.
Yep.
Jamal Murray gets 10 assists. It's pretty much,
there's nothing that will stop them except for either Murray or Michael Porter Jr. Both being historically fragile and succumbing to that. I just mean that Porter's fragile in the head. I mean, he's also physically fragile.
I did see as well that there's some new ad. Nikola Jokic is promoting Despicable Me 4, dressing up like Gru. It's very cute. Everybody's like, we didn't think we could love Nikola Jokic anymore. Like, do you though? Does everybody love Nikola Jokic? We just keep making fun of him.
No, they're fucking terrified of his brothers because they look like...
That's right.
They look like those people who sort of star in the sort of films you don't ever want to watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Balkans. But,
yes. Taken 43.
Who was the one that was in... Which was the one that was in John Wick?
Boban. It was the enormous 7-foot-20 guy. I think he's now at the Rockets.
Gets stabbed with a pencil, I think, or something.
I don't know.
He spoilers. Dies a horrible death.
Spoilers.
Yeah, he dies. Sorry, it's in the first 5 minutes.
Well, he kind of has to. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
He's
very large. Though,
he's a large man, and he's come into a contretemps with Keanu. So he's gonna have to meet an end. They're not gonna sort of shake hands and go about their business.
It's a pretty short movie. Otherwise, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. If this meeting could have been an email, he just emails all these people and says, fucking cut it out, eh? And they go, yeah, sorry, reply all. Good point.
In the alternative cut, he crosses him up, shoots three, and then, punches him off the edge of a building. And
that's previous email, CC's the manager, John Wick works in a large corporate enterprise and fucking kills himself because he's too depressed.
Oh, that got dark really quickly.
Yeah. Well, let's make it less dark. Kawhi Leonard's almost definitely going to be injured at some stage in this series, and the Clippers are going to lose.
Isn't he already injured?
I mean, he's always injured. His knee has been a chronic issue.
They're going to play the Mavs.
Well, knee was the reason that he left the Spurs because he felt they didn't manage it properly. Yeah. So that's how far back that goes. That's fucking 2018.
Yeah.
So it was a chronic issue then. It's been terrible ever since. He's constantly having to, play carefully around it and, get it drained. It inflames a lot. But once Kawhi joins Zion, Jimmy, Giannis, probably Joel on the bench, the Mavs should cruise, I think.
I think the Mavs will probably cruise anyway. I think Luka Doncic is just going to go absolutely friggin' nuts. And he's got a support cast now. Like, they play D and they shoot threes. And as much as I hate to say it because of, fucking hate watching them, but I think they'll destroy the Clippers. Like you might get one good game out of them, but it's just Clippers going to clip.
Yep, clips going clip is exactly the truth. And then they'll probably go on to play OKC, who have got a much easier life than they thought they were going to have, given that because the talk was always whoever was in the play-in was going to try and tank to be the seed who faces the Thunder. Nobody knows anything because the 8th seed was going to end up being either the partly injured Kangs or the Zionless Pels. And in the end, getting the fucking Pels, they're going to have a lot of Jose Alvarado barking around their ankles, but not a lot more.
No, that's right. I watched a bit of that playing game today and I kind of went, oh, because I looked at the score and went, okay, that was, it looked fairly. It wasn't an extraordinary game by either side, really, but I didn't sort of think.
No.
The Kangs were just. Kangs lost win. Shooting it's, battle, basically.
It was almost like the Kangs had played their final the two nights before.
Yeah.
Because I think it took a lot out of them to just finally beat the fucking Dubs and crush them and get them back for, last year when they took the Dubs to 7 and then Steph Curry hit 50 on them in the final.
Cue the Jamaican pallbearer meme and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
God, I've never seen so much celebration for a dynasty to end as that one. And it's done. Like, I don't know what the hell. If they run it back,
I want to say it's not. I want to say, are you sure?
They're all coming back saying, oh, no, we want Clay to be a Warrior. I'm like, why?
Because
like, why?
The Oracle, you know, tickets to the Oracle aren't going to be, can't be, sell them for $500 if Clay's not there. Yeah, this is the thing. The only reason they keep, I mean, Clay played worse than a replacement level shooting guard. He was 0-for in that play-in game. He didn't hit a fucking shot. You need your shooting guard to hit, to do shootings. No, I don't mean, you know, drive bys. I mean, you're putting the ball in basketball. I can't imagine what kind of drive-by Clay could do with his boat. It would be pretty lame, given that it's mostly, I think it's a sailboat. So you're not getting out of there terribly quick. We've got a long way off path. The Dubs are fucked.
Yeah, they're gone. Like, and they'll be even more gone if they try and run it back next year.
Well, Well, their choices are just fucking let everybody go and either quasi-rebuild around. Like, they're not going to trade Steph. So they're going to try. And no. Steph's still got juice. So do they do a quasi-rebuild around Steph and Kuminga? Or do they just literally sell everything around Steph and try and trade something?
Where did I see it? Someone was saying, "Oh, the you know this team would be great for Klay Thompson, someone who needs like a good like step shooter or something like that." I can't remember. What
they keep trying to sell him off to Orlando.
As I think it was Orlando. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, do they really need?
They've already got
shooters.
I guess it's the Jingles role. Yeah.
Well, they're talking about the Joe Ingles spot. That's the. And I'm thinking, well, what's the matter with Joe Ingles?
Like, he's old.
I mean, he hasn't been set.
Chill old bloke.
He's old, but so is Clay.
Chill old bloke who fucking shoots threes and you know keeps the vibes balanced in the locker room is a job.
But at least Joel, he might look like shit doing. At least he drives to the rack occasionally. Still has that great shot of him driving around Wemby, you know, up and over Wemby, and then just gasping for air as he comes back on defense, which is all power to him, man.
But also, at least his team is still in the fucking playoffs.
That's right. And that's the thing. Do the Warriors want to pay $500 a night to see a 10 seed? Like, they're not built to be a 10 seed. In the same way that I guess that the Suns aren't built to be an 8 seed. And
But the thing is, though, if you set aside, you know, the period from Steph and Clay onwards, and you ignore, like, the long, long distant history of the Warriors back when they were in, you know, on the East Coast, the Warriors have always been around a 10 seed.
Yeah, that's
right. They've been a garbage fire for most of their time. They were as bad as the Clippers were historically.
Well, the Timberwolves, I guess, are the perfect example. Mm. They're always around there or thereabouts. So were Orlando for the last little, you know, they were worse probably. But there's sides that have actually, you know, and I mean, I still think, you know, people are a bit surprised that Minnesota this year, because you always kind of look at them and go, well, they could, but they never have.
We keep expecting the wheels to fall off. And I think that was kind of the underpinning a lot of the people who picked Phoenix over Minnesota. I mean, Zach Lowe and Christ knows who else. Because they thought, well, the Phoenix have this, if they can get their shooting going, then Gobert and Kat, you know, those guys are not playable against quality shooting. But we found out today they fucking are. Because all we have to do is they can test well enough that the quality shooting isn't quality anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting to listen to some of the reviews of like the over-under on that, and you realize that just how, you know, most of them are pretty good, but where everybody went wrong is just literally not knowing how bad the bad teams were going to be, because they are really bad. You know, I think we said that like
20 teams or almost, you know, two-thirds of the league were over 500 this year.
Yeah.
So that tells you that 10 teams were fucking bad. They were bad.
Yeah, even the Rocks. Like, even the Rocks in the 11th.
I was so glad the Rocks got back to...
to parity.
Back to 500 on the last day, thanks to the Clippers, you know, phoning one in. Because I thought that was a lovely... You know, they deserve to be a 500 team, at the very least.
Yes.
And they are going to be a problem next year.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Like, who's the missing part of that puzzle? You know, is it who's around?
I guess they continue to develop because they got Şengün and they got Jalen Green who's made a leap. There's an argument that he made a leap because he got more sunlight and oxygen because Şengün wasn't there. But if they're going to be a good team, Jalen Green has to learn how to play with another good player, and Şengün has to learn how to play with another good player. So I think they're going to have a year that looks more like OKC's last year, next year.
Yes.
I think. Maybe a little bit better, but the West is so strong, they'd have to bank on someone like the Dubs going back into the suck completely.
Well, they will. I think they will. And the other team I think that's going backwards in a big hurry, quicker than I thought they would, is the Kings. Like, for some reason, it just seemed to, you know, it can't be all one guy. Like,
there were mitigating circumstances there with they lost a couple of really important people. They lost, like, their 6 and 7, essentially. They lost Herder. They lost Monk. Actually, Monk is the starter quite often. Last year, they had ridiculously good injury luck. This year, they had the opposite of that. I was really surprised by how vacant they were in just sort of falling out of the play-in, but it goes to show how much of a home ground advantage they had in Beamtown and how much beating the dumps took out of them. They couldn't get back up. Yeah. Whereas Pels had come off two consecutive bitter losses and they had their backs against the wall, you know, Queensland Origin style with down Zion and just had to say, right, you know, we're going to have to gut through this one. I think they're going to go on to be quite terrible in the actual 1-8 games, which probably will have been played by the time you hear this, although we might be quick enough to pop it out before then. And pretty much the same thing that happened to the Kings in the second play-in will happen to the Pels in the 1-8, I'm afraid.
So predictions, going forward, Boston will beat the shit out of Miami.
Unless Jimmy comes back, or unless they have like a cardboard cutout of Jimmy that they just move around the court and scare like Jason Tatum and Jake.
Style. Who was the one that had his daughter in the crowd yelling at them last year?
Oh, it's DeMar DeRozan.
That's right. Yeah,
he came down to scream at people. Right. Yes.
Yeah,
that was right.
That's just sitting him in the background, go ooh, boogie, yes, boogie, boogie.
Ooh, Jimmy Butler, heat culture, ooh, spooky.
I can't say it though. Like, I mean, if Boston look anything like they looked in a regular season, it's the most likely sweep of the lot. That being said, they only have to have a bad shooting night and they get beat by 20.
I don't think you ever sweep against Miami, but, and you never know. Miami could take this to 6 or 7 just through guts and aggro and bullshit and voodoo magic and Christ knows what else. But
I reckon the 7 series is the Bucks Indiana series. I reckon that's got 7 games written all over it because I don't think either side really knows how to get out. You know,
and
you know.
7 terrible games. They're going to be horrible. Right. They're going to suck. It's that series should be on NBA TV. They should elevate that.
Soon as Giannis was out, I was like, nope. Let's put that one on streaming.
Actually, the whole Eastern Conference should be on NBA TV. Apart from the fucking Sixers,
the Knicks.
And I think this also helps that we haven't had Sixers Knicks for an incredibly long time because they've never been good at the same time. In the period where the Knicks were good under with Carmelo and Anthony, they and you know Mike D'Antoni. The Sixers were deep in their fucking, you know, mega ass explosion fucking failure time.
Just the process.
And they're coming, yeah. That's also why I want to see the Sixers lose forever because I don't want, you know, philosophically I'm opposed to the idea that you lose to get good. That's not what we play sport for. It's not what we watch sport for. So, I mean, I hope to see Daryl Morey remembered as a moron and a failure, and particularly Sam Hinkie, his idiot fucking offspring, you know, in a professional context. That was just so sick and gross and stupid. I'm glad that it has failed and it continues to fail, and it won't succeed this year.
Glad to see that Tibbs, you know, went straight to the 8-man roster, everybody in 28 minutes or more.
If he could play a 4-man roster, he would.
Yeah, Precious Achiuwa, that sitting in the 9 spot, did not even step foot on the court.
No, I think he did something wrong in a shoot around like 3 months ago and hasn't seen the court since. But the thing is, we've still got so much basketball to go. It's quite insane that there's still 2 months. The NBA playoffs go longer than the entire Big Bash League, which I've always been told is the longest sporting event in the world, the way people talk about it. Oh, the BBL's too long. Oh, the fucking NBA, it takes the NBA longer to go from 16 teams to one team.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably almost longer than a bloody NFL season or something, isn't it? Like, we get most of the don't they play 10 games or something like that?
It's not too far away. I mean, the NFL playoffs take a while because, you know, they take 4 weeks. But
wild cards.
2 months. 2 months. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we're close to the end yet. Yeah, like you say, there's so much.
We're not close to the end at all.
And there's so much basketball because they're all playing them so simultaneous. Like, it's all 4-4 at the moment, I think.
It's 4-4 for the first weekend, and then they start splitting off into 3-2. During the week, that's when they have the series that kind of fall into being the NBA TV series. That's the kind of the running joke of the series that they didn't want to put on because they usually only put like 2 games a night on national TV, if that. So there's often one extra game that needs a place to go, and it goes on streaming for the sickos, basically.
And of course, once we get to the second round and beyond, we enter into that most dangerous time for NBA podcasters. Oh shit, there's no games on. What do we do?
Oh God, no, that's horrific. we had a few days like that this week. Just as well, there was also Champions League and all manner of other shit going on as well.
So yeah, that's about it. I did listen to a podcast actually this week, but. I don't listen to a lot of other podcasts, but I did listen to one because it had gotten a bit of media attention. I thought it would. It was a Howie Games episode, actually. Now, I'd quite like Mark Howard as a commentator. I don't mind him as a podcaster, though. I think he's the softest interview out there.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the Australian.
He wouldn't pretend any other way. He probably sees himself more like a fucking Michael Parkinson kind of interview.
I reckon he's Australia's Oprah. He's the sports Oprah for, you know, he's just, but that works sometimes.
You get a car.
It does work.
You get a car.
Yeah.
Well the motorsport like equivalent of him is Greg Rust. He does the same sort of thing. He does very sort of friendly
interviews. His podcast with Meg Lanning is very, very good. Because you want to talk about someone who definitely doesn't want to talk about themselves at all and almost double takes on herself during the thing to talk about what happened. It's a good listen, just for various reasons. I won't spoil it in any way. It's been out in the media, but definitely worth a listen to, have a listen to probably Australia's greatest cricketer in the past 50, 60, whatever, however long, male or female, just talk about what shit's going down. And it's quite
the pressures that have thing. This is what happens when you try and professionalize a sport in real time, that, you know, the pressures that come to bear on people exacerbate whatever other shit they've got going on.
Yeah, and of all of the reasons why, I mean, like why I thought it was, yeah, that it wasn't what I was expecting anyway. But so, yes, I won't spoil it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the bit where it turned into a musical, I wasn't expecting at all. I mean, because Howie can't sing for shit.
But man, she's got a really great falsetto.
Yeah, great pipes. Yeah. It was like that weird bit in Dave where Sigourney Weaver starts singing. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, makes coffee, sings so tunes, and has a cover drive. Yeah, that you'd want to frame. But anyway,
if anyone looks like a theatre kid, I would have said Elise Perry. She has a certain vibe to her. She really looks like, I reckon she probably was a theatre kid.
Yeah, I own a theatre kid, but anyway, that's fine. She's good fun.
Owner operator. You only lease them. You give them back eventually. I'm told.
I'm an assistant producer too.
Uncredited, very gopher, that's best right. boy, yeah. weirdest grip, all those sorts of things.
That's right.
Yeah. I was going to give Pep Guardiola a spray because he won the fucking what was it, the FA Cup semi final, and then proceeded to post match interview to just bleat about how it was so unfair that his team had to play all these games because they keep winning. It's like, I can imagine how well it would go for any of us if we started complaining that it was incredibly it was disgusting that we were asked to turn up to work quite so often. I mean, given that he has this multi-billion-pound squad, you know, and it's within his fucking gift to rotate them if he's worried about the workload on them, it does seem a little bit fucking precious. But, you know, enjoy those trophies.
Yeah, who knew, eh?
Yes, out-of-touch billionaires are out-of-touch. We'll never be out-of-touch because we'll never be billionaires, folks.
ABAC.
Mainly because we're going to have to take out a loan to pay for Adam's fucking potato vodka bill for the wind spill. That'll do us for this week.
Sounds good.
We'll be back next week with some combination of the three regular hosts of this show. But until then, we'll talk to you then.
Gotcha.
Jordan with 2 seconds to go, puts it up, and scores at the buzzer. Michael Jordan has won it for Chicago.